Genesis Trust, a non-profit, non-political, and non-sectarian organization on the roster of the Economic and Social Council of the United Nations and concerned with the establishment of world cooperation and goodwill, presents Inner Sight with your host, Robert Anderson. He, with Sarah and Dale McKechnie, President and Vice President of Lucis Trust, will discuss philosophical and spiritual topics essential to everyday life. Now here's your host, Robert Anderson.
Welcome. Inner sight is simply seeing that which is always present, but not yet fully recognized. You have, within you, the ability to see yourself and the world around you in a new way with new eyes. So, stay with us, and together we'll look at the world and ourselves with inner sight. Our topic for today is symbols, and it's symbols part two, actually. And later on, we're going to tell you about an offer that we have that I think you'll like because it'll save some money for you. And we always like to give credit to Alice Bailey, the founder of the Lucis Trust organization. She wrote 24 volumes of literature. And the main inspiration for the dialogue that you hear on this show comes from the works of Alice Bailey, as does the following thought. There are many ways in which the intuition can be drawn into activity, and one of the most useful and potent is the study and interpretation of symbols. Well, before we go forward,
go backwards.
I'd like you to go backwards, Sarah and Dale. Can you begin with by recapping what you discussed last time about symbols?
Well, one point that we discussed was the tendency of early man, as we found in our discussion of Atlantis, to see symbols all around him, the world, the natural world, the forces of the natural world, were interpreted as symbols to that person because science was non-existent, the knowledge that we have today was not present, and they relied on the interpretive capacity of the mind and the emotional life to put some meaning into the world, to find meaning and some kind of sense of direction in the events that happened unbidden and unexpected and sometimes quite violent and painful, but also sometimes quite beautiful. And it struck me that symbolism isn't just for early primitive man, so to speak. Symbolism is needed in our own society, in our own development. But perhaps one of the things that works against symbolism and understanding of symbols is our emphasis on science and technology. We have documented the world down to the tiniest atom, and we've made great strides in gaining knowledge of all the aspects of the outer world. But at the same time, we seem to have just stopped at that level, of which is the physical, concrete, outer level of manifestation, the objective level, and lost sight of the subjective level, the inner realm of significance and meaning. And this is what the artists and poets and religious figures offer to us. So that was one point we discussed.
Yes, I think the early, more primitive societies, perhaps, they're not bothered by the emphasis on the analytical, concrete mind.
They
didn't have much. This is going back to the Atlantean times. And so they were perhaps nearer in consciousness to nature. And so they that's how they learned about nature. And they learned about the spirit in nature, and they could see the spirit in nature just by the study of the symbols of the trees and the rocks and the birds around them. And all of these became teaching tools and ways that they could identify with spirit. And so that's how the whole concept of God perhaps started and was developed since then. But now the concrete mind needs a new way of developing, and it's reaching not so much back towards the more primitive society way, but it's reaching towards the intuitive level.
And it's using the mind as a kind of a launch pad. I think that's why there's so much interest in meditation today.
Absolutely. And meditation, as we've discussed before, is a unique way. It's an ideal way of evoking the intuitive meaning that lies behind and within every symbol. And so that's why we in the Lucis Trust, we advocate a technique of meditation that does just that. It uses the technique of a seed thought and a deep reflection on the, not only the outer nature of this seed thought, but also upon the quality of the particular idea, and then the purpose of the idea that lies behind the outer symbol. And then if one can, arriving at an understanding of the actually life and animating life within that form, because all forms are symbols of an indwelling life.
And all words, Alice Bailey said, are inadequate symbols of inner truths. So what we are saying is that the study of any form, whether it's an idea or an object or an event, all of those are forms of various kinds. Any study of a form has to get behind that form to the inner level of its meaning and of the spiritual significance expressing through that form, whether it's an idea, a person, or an event. But when the lower mind tries to analyze and make sense of it, it relies on words and on visual depictions, and both of those, being themselves of the form, are barriers, become barriers. And so when we talk about the intuition, we're talking about a transcendent aspect beyond the mind, which grips or grasps truth in its entirety, which sees the whole concept in its wholeness and does not have to take it apart through analysis, doesn't have to break it down.
No, it's kind of a direct knowing, mm-hmm. a sense of knowingness that comes without question, and it's usually not related to the personal self. It has more to do with the whole,
and it has nothing to do with the gut. There's so much, there's a constant misunderstanding about the intuition that it's not, or a perception of the gut. My gut tells me. Your gut tells you you feel and desire. Your mind, and even higher than your mind, intuit.
Right. What people sometimes think is intuition is really comes from a lower source, and it may be an impression that tells them that they should go out and do great things or do this and that or go here and there. But that isn't really intuition. That's something more related to the personal desire, I think.
Yeah.
So it's a reflection of the intuition, but it's not.
Alice Bailey said that the soul creates through the agency of the lower mind. The lower mind is needed for the soul to create, to manifest. And the world of symbols fills our lives with color and interest and concepts and beauty and inspiration. We were talking last time about some familiar symbols. One that's so inherent a part of the spiritual path is the path. What Joseph Campbell, in his study called The Masks of God, called the hero's journey. The path or the journey is a recognition found in all cultures and virtually all ages, that spiritual growth takes one from here to there.
And it's the path of return from mm-hmm. into the world, and then making the turnabout and then returning to God. It's the path trod by the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. As he left the father's home, went into the world, experienced the world, and became disenchanted with the world, and picked himself up and went back to the Father's house.
Maybe another example would be the Odyssey of Homer, when Odysseus sailed into the unknown and had to survive the call of the sirens who would have led him astray and kept him from realizing his goal. That again is symbolic of the diversions that can take one away from the soul's path. Initiation is also a symbol. It's a word for the expansion of consciousness, and it's also often depicted as an initiation or as a gate through which you pass, or a door, again leaving something behind and entering into a new realm. The initiation and the journey are both aspects of the soul's growth. Alice Bailey put it this way. She said, everybody is traveling, and it's interesting to note today that the whole world is on the move. That's something that is a phenomenon of our time, and I think it has symbolic meaning. Refugees are huge populations of people are moving from one country to another, being displaced by war or famine or ethnic tension. People are moving from the countryside because of poverty into great urban centers. That again is an effect of the aspiration for a better life that drives those people to make tremendous upheavals in their lives in search of something better and finer. And she saw this as symbolic of the spiritual path. She said, we are on our way. We are also preparing for expansions of consciousness, which will enable us to live in two realms at once, the life that must be lived on earth and the life which we can live in the kingdom of God, meaning the life of the soul.
Mm. And also more about the door. In the gateway, we have all of these symbols. Maybe we could pick it up after the break. We could talk more about that.
We certainly can. For those people who just tuned in, you're listening to Inner Sight. Our topic for today is Symbols, Part 2. And we mentioned earlier that we have a special offer for you from the Lucis Publishing Company. And it's a book entitled Ponder on This. I like Ponder on This a lot because it contains, of course, it's in an abridged version, all of the themes, but it contains all the themes of the Alice Bailey books. All 24 volumes are represented in this compilation of extracts. So it's a really wonderful way to start with Alice Bailey literature because you can develop a priority, what you want to look at first. First, peruse this book, Ponder on This, and then pick and choose those topics that you have a priority interest in. The way you get this discount, and it is a discount because you're not paying for shipping and handling if you do this today, you have to mention Lucis Trust. Just mentioned that you heard the offer on Lucis Trust, so you have to send a check or money order for $16 to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. All right, that's once again, that's a mention that you heard the offer for Ponder on This. That's the title of the Alice Bailey book on Inner Sight. And you'll send the check or money order, $16, to Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And we also need your help. We appreciate the support you've given us in the past, and we would really like it if you continue to support us. That's what pays for our radio shows. And you've been very generous to us, so please continue to do so because we continue to need your support to stay on this fine station. You can send donations to Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's for donations, Lucis Trust. Lucis is L-U-C-I-S. Lucis Trust, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. We also have a general package of information which you're really welcome to request, and you get that general package of information telling you all about Lucis Trust and how you might become more involved. If you call us on our toll-free number, 1-866-695-8247, that's 1-866-695-8247, the easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS, think of 1-866-NY-LUCIS, New York, Lucis, Lucis, L-U-C-I-S. Our website is www.lucistrust.org, and on that website you can find all of our previously archived library of radio shows. Well, let's pick up where we left off. What more can we say about symbols?
You were talking about the door?
Well, yes, the door is a symbol that often crops up in esoteric literature and esoteric writing, and usually a doorway is a portal into something greater, a greater aspect of life or a greater expression of life, and that's what, the initiations that you mentioned. Each initiation is like going through a portal or a door, and it is said that death is like going through a door from one room into another at the moment of death. So it's, but often what we also see in front of the door is an angel or a gatekeeper who is standing there to protect the way from going through the door until you're ready. It's not, you can't go through the door until you are ready to synchronize, until you are synchronized with what's on the other side. And that, so you often see that coming up. The gatekeeper is there to protect you.
Another symbol that I just thought of is the house. I used to have constant recurring dreams about a house, searching for my house. It would be my place, my abode, my home, my house. And I guess the house is the symbol for the self. According to psychology, Christ said, "In my Father's house are many mansions," meaning, I suppose, there are many levels to what we consider the self, and all selves are contained within the one Creator. One symbol that we haven't touched on yet that I think is fascinating, because I remember it from when I was a little girl, the symbols associated with royalty. Anyone who has ever seen film footage of the coronation of Queen Elizabeth II, that is just full of symbolism that is quite spiritual. In fact, a friend of mine, a British woman, said that she could remember listening to the coronation ceremony on the radio. Yeah, she lived in Britain, and she remembered saying to herself at some point in the ceremony, which went on for hours, "Now the magical part is done, finished." When you see the the various items, the scepter, the sword, those symbolize the transfer of spiritual power. When the queen knights someone, she touches them with her sword. Again, I think symbolic of the rod of initiation, the transfer of power from one source to another. The crown that's placed on her head, symbolic of the anointing of power, which royalty has.
Right, and
The scepter.
The scepter and the sword. The sword has vast symbolism. I mean, it's down through the ages. The sword has been a great symbol. It's been, in fact, reminds me of what Christ said, "I come not to bring peace, but a sword." And if you take that literally, you know, with your concrete mind, then that sounds kind of violent.
What does that mean?
But he doesn't come to bring peace, because, first of all, before you have peace, there has to be change. And he comes into the world to bring about change, because the old must give way to the new, and that's always a painful situation. It brings about a lot of anxiety, and so the sword really is the sword of the spirit, and that when it's wielded, it is wielded as a technique of a renunciation of the past for the for the present, for the goal of the present.
Coming back to another symbol we were talking about in the last program, the point and the circle, that's a deeply spiritual representation of the effect in consciousness of the gradual identification with the Creator, the One Life. On every level, from the atom to the planet to the universe, the point symbolizes the identity, what one thinks one is. Most of us think we are individual, isolated, independent units called selves. I am a self. I am separate from yourself, from all other selves. But the circle reminds us that this point of identification has to become inclusive in greater and greater arcs of inclusiveness, including the family, the group, the nation, and the whole of humanity eventually, and beyond that, the whole of the universe. So that, as I mentioned last time, Blavatsky said God is a circle whose circumference is, whose center is everywhere and whose circumference is nowhere, meaning God includes the whole of the created world within his identity.
And just to pick another symbol, what about the flag?
The flag.
The flag. Every nation has its own national flag.
Americans are particularly devoted to their flag,
right,
aren't they?
Right, and there's great symbolism involved in the flag. You know, aside from the obvious, the physical appearance of the flag, the bar, the stripes, and the bars, and the field of blue, and the stars that represent the states and all of that.
Stars represent the 13 original colonies.
No, the bars do.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See, I don't 13, know my flag.
13 stripes. 13 stripes. And then the field of blue in which all the stars represent the states.
Oh, yeah.
And the states, the number of the states has kept changing over
You're
the
right.
years. Behind that, and it's kind of what this country was founded upon, you see, is gets back to the meaning of the symbol of the flag, and that, at least in, as far as we are concerned in this country, it has to do with freedom, I think. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, and the basic rights that we all enjoy. And that, in turn, if you can take this into your meditation and think more deeply about it, leads back to here again, this is about a doorway into the true freedom that is known by the higher initiates, and the freedom from the hold of the earth, and from the hold of the emotional nature, and freedom from the mental and the glamours of the emotional plane.
Another important symbol that we haven't touched on is the lotus. It's said that its Western equivalent in Western spiritual and especially esoteric traditions is the rose, as in the Rosicrucians. But Manly Palmer Hall said he thought that in fact the rose was just a kind of a blind for the lotus, even in Western esoteric tradition, which is interesting. The lotus being an especially meaningful symbol because it's a plant whose blossom is above the water, right? It doesn't rest on the level of water, which is symbolic of the astral or emotional realm. It is above it, free of the astral,
it's up
emotional.
In the, up in the air.
Which represents the mind. Mm-hmm. And yet its roots are deeply anchored in the soil beneath the water.
The Western equivalent, of course, is the pond lily, which does float on the water,
mm-hmm.
and it isn't. The stalk doesn't support it. It floats, so it's kind of confined to the water itself, which is symbol of the astral nature.
And the lotus is the symbol of the human being's potential to be firmly anchored on earth, and yet, on another level, entirely free spiritually of the pull of earth and of desire and matter.
So there are many of these symbols all around us. I mean,
the weather, the natural world is full of symbols.
You said that the other day that weather was a symbol. Now, what way
well,
is that?
The writings of Alice Bailey say that she believed that the weather reflects to us what's going on in our consciousness, in our inner turmoil or whatever, that storms and so on are reflective of states of consciousness in humanity as a whole. Certainly, Edgar Cayce, I think, echoed that. Volcanoes, earthquakes, and so on are disturbances of the earth, literally, that are symbolic of changes and upheavals that have their real point of significance on the level of consciousness, but they manifest through the earth.
So that you might take that into account the next time you are getting angry out there, because you may be causing the rain and the changes in the weather coming at you. So,
well, the American Indians certainly lived in the natural world and saw symbolic meaning in it and did their best to placate it and work with it, and so should we. Regardless of whether we're talking about weather or ideas or people or events, the great Indian Hindu teacher Patanjali, who was, you could say, the founder of modern yoga, spoke of something called spiritual reading, which is really seeing life and circumstance with the eyes of the soul, learning to read events, people, and happenings as symbolic of an inner spiritual reality that is there to teach us. And we can begin by looking at our own lives and our own circumstances and our own relationships and seeing them as symbolic of something that is representing a spiritual truth on an inner level. Look through the outer reality as you now see it and read through it to an inner level of meaning and significance that might help you to see a purpose in your life and a teaching value that would be really liberating. Gradually, when you cultivate this capacity, there's no circumstance that doesn't offer some educational capacity.
Take advantage of our special offer, the book Ponder on This, which is written by the founder of the Lucis Trust organization, Alice Bailey. We recommend Ponder on This because it's a compilation of extracts from all 24 books by Alice Bailey. It's available for $16. The uniqueness of this offer is that you get free shipping and handling, providing that you mention that you heard the offer on Inner Sight. So what you have to do is send a $16 check or money order, that's $16, check or money order, to Lucis, L-U-C-I-S, Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. That's Lucis Publishing, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10005. And also, if you'd like some of our other books, cassette tapes of radio shows, a schedule of our meditation meetings, or a package of general information, contact us at 1-866-695-8247. The easy way to remember it, 1-866-NY-LUCIS. Think of New York Lucis. 1-866-NY-LUCIS. You've been listening to Inner Sight. Now we would like to close with a world prayer called the Great Invocation. It's a call for light and love and goodwill to flow into the world and into our hearts. Let's listen for a moment to these powerful words.
From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into human minds. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into human hearts. May the coming one return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide all little human wills, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the human race, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth.